building a foundation. Before we get into the four bolsters or supports, I'd like to offer a word about tension and stress, since that's part of what we're doing here, working on ways to relieve it. If we can understand a little more about what it is, we'll have a better grasp of how to work with it. We all have various levels of conscious and unconscious stress that we've built up in our lives. And this underlying stress can often get triggered by new stressors happening to us every day. When we begin to practice an awareness of how and where we feel stress, we can then learn how to loosen our grip, loosening our grip on old tensions that we've been carrying around with us, as well as the newer stressors that come our way. I had a student years ago who told me she couldn't fathom the idea of letting go. In fact, the expression itself, letting go, and I'm doing air quotes here, often frustrated her. It seemed impossible sometimes. She said she didn't even know where to begin. "How does one just let go?" she said. "I don't get it. Where does it go?" We've all heard the phrase many times, just let it go. Let it go. Don't worry about it. Let it go. There's even a song about it, which if you have young children or grandchildren, I'm sure you're very familiar with. Anyway, this very wise student told me that every time she tried to let go of a particular stressor, she would almost immediately grab tightly onto another area of stress in her life. She would, in effect, as she put it, just change her grip. She'd simply replace one tension to focus on with another, like changing hands as you go across the bars on the jungle gym as a kid. Let go of one bar and grab another. Let go of one stress and grab another, one after another. This is the practice of the worrying mind. So instead of the concept of letting go, we're going to practice first the concept of letting it be, which there's also a little song about by the Beatles, of course. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. More on that later. So rather than changing our grip and grabbing on to the next stressor, one after another, we're going to practice taking a pause. Taking a pause and letting it be. After a few breaths, we can then begin to loosen our grip on whatever we're holding on to, before moving our attention to the next stressor. Here's a quick exercise to present this concept. Let's do this together. Start by sitting comfortably and close your eyes gently. If closing your eyes doesn't feel comfortable for you, you can simply relax your gaze and find something in the room in front of you to focus on softly. Now with one of your hands, make a fist. If you're at the treatment center and have an IV in one arm, use the hand without the IV. Now, clench your fist and place it on your lap or the arm of the chair, or wherever you're seated, or wherever it's supported. Observe that feeling of tightness. Feel it. Feel the fingers clenching. Notice how the tightness travels into your wrist and maybe up your arm a bit. Observe where else your body feels tense from your clenched fist. Maybe your shoulder, or perhaps your throat or jaw. Take a quick mental snapshot of where you feel the tightness in your body from the grip of your fist. Now keep hold of your fist and bring your attention to your breath, observing your inhales and exhales moving gently in and out of the nose. With each exhale, slowly begin to soften your fist, just a little bit at a time. With each exhale, feel your fist gently beginning to relax, to open a little, to unclench itself, little by little with each out-breath, nice and easy, loosening your grip with each exhalation. Now observe where you feel the tension has softened, the fingers, the wrist, and anywhere else in the body. Taking a breath or two here, feeling and being. Then slowly and gently open your eyes if they were closed and give your hand a nice stretch, opening your fingers and stretching the skin of the palm, gently moving the fingers to get the blood flowing again. Your hand may feel a little stiff from holding on to that tension. Just keep opening your hand and stretching your fingers until that tension subsides. This is just a quick example and exercise of how we can begin to work with the tension in our bodies. A simple example of how we can use our awareness and our breath to address and ease physical stress. And if we can learn tools to help us loosen our grip physically, we can also learn how to loosen our grip mentally and emotionally. In yoga, we use our bodies as tools to inform our minds and our hearts. Here's how this all works. Part of our central nervous system, called the autonomic nervous system, unconsciously regulates the functions of the body, like our heart rate, our breath, and our digestion. It controls how we respond to stressful situations. The autonomic nervous system is made up of two parts. The first is called the sympathetic, or fight, flight, or freeze, and the second is called the parasympathetic, or rest and digest. We're working here to activate the parasympathetic, rest and digest response, helping to bring us into a more relaxed and balanced state. Here's a helpful way to look at it. If you imagine fight, flight, or freeze is like stepping on the gas pedal of a car. When we sense danger, real or perceived, we're automatically revved up into high gear to fight or flee from it. Our hearts beat faster, blood pressure goes up, cortisol and adrenaline levels rise. We may perspire and tremble as we prepare to yell for help, kick, punch, or run to escape. It affects our whole system. Remember, this happens whether or not the danger is real or perceived. So we can simply think about stressful situations and experience these uncomfortable symptoms. Our thoughts alone can push the pedal to the metal. Now, sometimes we freeze in the face of danger, the way some animals do, like opossums. We can liken that feeling to stepping on the gas and the brake pedals at the same time. We feel all revved up inside, but we freeze in fear. We may even have trouble speaking or moving. And of course, this happens in varying degrees depending on the stressor. I've had many students tell me this is exactly how they felt when they first heard the words, "You have cancer." So, when we're living through difficult times in our lives that may cause prolonged feelings of stress, we can eventually begin to feel as though we're running on fumes or we're running out of fuel. We can feel tired or agitated or have trouble sleeping or feel lethargic. We can feel emotionally, physically, and mentally exhausted. Chronic stress occurs when we are living in fight, flight, or freeze too much of the time. So it's important for our overall health and well-being to learn how to pump the brakes. We need relief. We need to find ways to break up stress cycles, even when we're feeling as though that might be impossible. By learning how to activate our rest and digest response, we bring balance back to the entire system, mind, body, and soul. This helps to bring ourselves into a state of calm and, most importantly, helps the systems of the body to work more smoothly. Respiration, digestion, circulation, and even our immune system. And needless to say, this is all very helpful when going through treatment. This program is about learning tools to pump the brakes. The truth is, stress is a part of life. We have underlying stress from our past that can be triggered by new stressors that sometimes feel like they're coming at us every day. There will always be stressors in our lives, big and small. When we fight them or push them away or swallow them, we can ultimately end up feeling even more uncomfortable. I've never understood the term stress management. Management implies that we're in charge and have control over something. But the truth is, our autonomic nervous system reacts automatically when we're faced with a stressor. We have no control over it. Our body takes over. The way the body reacts is not up to us. It's not mind over matter, and it's not our fault. So how do we manage a feeling that we don't have any control over? Stress is the result of us feeling unequipped or ill-equipped to deal with something. It's a feeling of overwhelm. Sometimes we even get upset or angry with ourselves that we're not strong enough to handle our stress better. Some students I've worked with tell me they blame themselves for not being able to better handle their stress. But the body's reaction to stress is not a conscious one. Again, it's a physiological reaction to real or perceived danger coming our way that we feel is too big for us to handle. So where do we start? We can begin to look at it in a different way. We can learn to change our relationship with it. We can stop giving it so much power. We can demystify it as this unknown force that takes over us. We can see it for what it is at its onset, our system's natural reaction to something that feels out of our control. There are many different ways we've learned over the years to handle or manage stress in our lives. But after time, these tactics sometimes begin to wear thin. And when we're suddenly faced with a major challenge in our life, we need some tools, some new tools, perhaps even a change in perspective, a paradigm shift. We can slowly and gently begin to approaching stress with an openness and a greater sense of compassion for ourselves, rather than the resistance many of us have had over the years, numbing it, battling it, or ingesting it. As long as we're resisting it in one way or another, it can build up and continue. A word about resistance. When we fight and tense up against what's happening in the present moment, it doesn't feel good. It's a natural form of protection that in the long run doesn't serve us. One of the principal ideas in these practices is that what we resist persists. Again, what we resist persists. When we are constantly battling an idea, a person, a situation, or ourselves, and allowing our minds to go over it again and again, and trying to control it, or figure it out, or will it into our desired outcome, it causes stress in our minds and bodies. Some of the philosophies that we'll be working with here stem from Hatha Yoga and different types of meditation. In Sanskrit, the ancient Indian language of yoga, Ha means sun and Tha means moon. The word yoga means to yoke, to join, to connect. Hatha Yoga is the integration of opposites, starting with ourselves, good, bad, love, fear, joy, sorrow, hot, cold, hard, soft, kind, cruel, and the list goes on. These black and white opposites and every shade in between are a part of who we are. We can be in tears one minute and laughing the next, right? Sometimes these opposites happen all at once. Have you ever been so happy you cried, or so afraid or startled that you began to laugh? The idea here is to accept that all of it exists within us. We are a mass of contradictions, which we often fight against. Once we begin to make room for all of it, we can begin to loosen our grip of the judgment we have about ourselves. Author Elizabeth Gilbert says, "Embrace the glorious mess that you are." I love that. We're not supposed to be good and right and perfect all of the time. We're here to be imperfect and human. My dear friend and artist Jeff Ricker introduced me to the concept that we are spiritual beings here to have a human experience. When we begin to soften into what's going on, we allow ourselves to feel and to be. We begin to move through what's happening rather than tightening up against it. If you think about the strength of an oak tree, its heavy branches have a sense of beauty and majesty, but are also rigid and can crack and break in a storm. The willow tree can bend and move in high winds. It may get tossed about a little bit and lose some leaves, but its flexible branches don't offer such resistance, so it's better able to withstand the storm. This doesn't mean we don't fight for what we want in our lives. It's about softening the fight within ourselves. Like the willow tree, we may get tossed around a bit, but we learn to move with and through what's happening. We can allow ourselves to feel our feelings without judgment. We can allow ourselves to make mistakes. We can allow ourselves to be furious one minute and laughing the next. We can allow ourselves to be imperfect. Starting to accept ourselves fully and knowing that we hold all of these opposites in our minds and hearts helps us to live our lives with a greater sense of honesty, humor, and compassion. We can begin to more easily forgive ourselves and others when we realize we are all perfectly imperfect, and we all live through inner and outer struggles. Sufi poet Rumi said, "Do not feel lonely. The entire universe is inside you."